With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now we welcome in from Houston, Jeff Blum, who is fresh off the Astros TV set. Also a former big league hitter and World Series champion himself. And Jeff, before we talk about what's happening in baseball with the Sticky Patrol, this is not why I asked you to be on the show, but Astros have got quite a streak going. What's working for them at this point?
The offense is going extremely well. That was one of the things that when the season started, we were kind of curious, would they be able to go out there and do that with the stress that, having fans back in the stadium, how are they going to perform on the road, and were they going to be able to perform up to expectations that we've had for them over the last couple of years? And obviously, they far exceeded any of our expectations, because even with the loss of George Springer at the top of the lineup, it was the question of who's going to be the leadoff guy, and Altuve is really kind of taken the bull by the horns and become that leader at the top of the lineup for the Astros. He's shown that he's still got plenty of power in that bat, hitting six home runs in the last 10 days, I feel like. But they have come together. They've galvanized. But the offense, to a man, 1-9, has really done a really good job and alleviated a lot of pressure and kind of masked maybe some issues that they do have in their bullpen by being able to go out there and get 10-plus hits, score 8 runs, and really provide a margin of victory that makes them the best in baseball.
You are able to be in the stadium now when games are taking place at Minute Maid Park. What's it been like to have fans return in droves?
Amy, I can't even explain how much fun it is to be in the ballpark. And, it's one thing to see the fans, because you see some familiar faces, you see some friendly faces. You get to, say hello to the ushers and some of the concession people that you've met throughout the course of the years and kind of reunite with them. And then once the game starts, the electricity of the crowd and the energy that it brings to the ball game itself provides so much, great noise in the background. And also it provides a great deal of energy for Todd and myself and Julia to be out there to be able to understand that we don't have to create that. There are moments in the game now where we can let the crowd speak for itself, and we don't have to try and cover some dead air with some banter to try and explain how big a moment was. The fans get to do that for us, and that's probably been the most enjoyable thing for me, is just to feel that energy and feel the momentum of some of these games inside that stadium.
Former big league hitter Jeff Blum is part of Astros TV. They're on a hot streak right now, and that's not why I asked him to join us on the show, but here he is with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I wanted to talk to you, Jeff, because you've obviously stood in a batter's box and faced countless pitchers through your time in the majors and on some of the most pressure-packed stages. We've got this big debate going on about pitchers using sticky substances. So before I ask you about today's game, I would like to know your perspective as a hitter when you played. Was it happening then? And if it was, how much did people know about it?
We all knew about it. And you know what? I played during the steroid era too. So it was a combination of a couple of things. Knowing that steroids were being used was one thing, and everybody knew that was hush hush. But for me, knowing that pitchers would actually doctor the baseball, whether it be with a substance or with scuffing, because that's one thing I've noticed here in the last 5 years, is how often a baseball is actually thrown out of a game because they don't want that ball to be scuffed. And I played with guys that would love to have that ball scuffed, because they could make it move all over the place, and it would just add another element of deception and movement to their pitches to try and get hitters out. And I was always a guy, understanding that they did use it, I just accepted it as part of the game. and also accepted it as the fact that when I dug into the box, that the pitcher was going to be able to throw strikes. So it gave me a certain level of comfortability knowing that I wasn't going to get drilled at any moment, that the pitches were going to be around the zone, and that pitches that I saw come out of the pitcher's hand with a certain spin, I could anticipate break because they actually would break instead of, you know, come flying out of their hand and not have the appropriate break that I was anticipating. So I was a guy who knew they were doing it, really didn't bother me that they were doing it, and because I felt that it gave them more command and gave me the opportunity to anticipate maybe where some of these pitches were going to be in regards to me recognizing spin. I didn't want it to, you know, I didn't want to be left guessing. I felt like the more I knew as far as spin and command, the better opportunity I actually had.
What substances were popular?
It was just pine tar. You know, towards the end of my career is when the sunscreen started to, you know, come in. I believe, you know, bullfrog was one of those things. The spray-on, you know, sunblocks were the ones that were the most tacky. And having played at Minute Maid Park with a retractable dome, having played in Arizona to end my career with a retractable dome, we always found it kind of odd that guys would have sunscreen on with the dome stadium.
Is it a realistic goal to be able to wipe it out of Major League Baseball?
I think it is unrealistic to just try and wipe it out of baseball because, you know, we know in watching these games in any league where, you know, you're trying to perform within the parameters of the rules that are being enforced. And the evolution of sport says that guys are going to try and find a way to compete the best they can. And if it means bending the rules or trying to get by the rules, they're going to try it. But to do it in the middle of a season is the one that really kind of catches me off guard and makes me wonder if it's actually going to be one of the smarter things they've done. Because stopping cold turkey in the middle of a season is a pretty drastic and a panicked move for me, for Major League Baseball to go out there and do. I know that guys are increasing spin rates at an unbelievable rate, but at the same time, hitters haven't done much to adjust as far as trying to beat the shift or cutting down with two strikes and becoming better hitters. They just continue to as hard. And with pitchers throwing harder more often, it seems like the hitters are just swinging harder and harder also instead of adjusting.
So then if that's the case and hitters actually could make adjustments, do you think that the sticky substances are not having as great an impact as what baseball believes or as maybe as what fans believe, depending on what you read and what you listen to?
Oh, yeah. Well, the fans, you know, and Major League Baseball has this idea of what's going to be entertaining the fans as opposed to understanding that fans of baseball just love the purity of the game and guys going out and competing. I think the fact that Major League Baseball is constantly trying to put their hand in there and try and alter the game is what's creating some of these issues, because the reason that pitchers are using the tacky stuff is because the baseball is constantly changing. The baseball is not the same from year to year. These guys, pitchers don't know what they're working with until they show up during a season. And that's why it's another thing. They've adapted to using a baseball that is wound tighter, has lower seams, and the only way they could figure out a way to get a grip and have consistent spin is by using spider tack or, you know, or pine tar or some of these other substances. And to stop this in the middle of the season, the pitchers are basically going to have to reteach themselves how to go out there and pitch and how to create, you know, movement in their pitches without using the tacky stuff. So, you know, it's kind of things moving against pitchers a little bit, but it's because baseball has kind of lost control of the game a little bit and they want more offense involved. So what do? They stop the ability to use the spider tack in the middle of the season. And you probably will see offensive numbers get a little bit bigger here in the next couple of weeks.
Jeff Blum played in the 2000s, won a World Series with the White Sox in 2005. We always enjoy having him here on the show after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know what the adjusted numbers are, Jeff, but about a month ago or so, Major League Baseball was on track to have its worst batting average in history over the course of a season. Is it as simple as there's something on the baseball? I mean, come on, it can't really be that simple, is it?
So there's two entities involved in trying to figure this thing out. Yes, pitchers are spinning a little bit more and they've become better, but hitters on the other side trying to use the analytic numbers to get their on-base percentage up, trying to get their slugging percentage up, but there's also shifts that are being instituted in the game also that hitters are not trying to beat. it's not too often that we see guys adjusting their swing or adapting their approach to go out and try and beat the shift. So hitters, essentially have basically given up and said, I'm just going to try and hit the ball over everybody's head or hit it as hard as I possibly can so that I can get my exit velocities up, I can get my launch angle up, and try and beat the shifts that way instead of trying to beat them by becoming better hitters. And with as hard as the velocity is that pitchers are throwing with and as much spin as they create, and no hitter has a two-strike approach, that's why you're seeing teams who are unable to catch up to some of the pitches that pitchers have nowadays, and that's why you're seeing a lot more of the strikeouts going up. And it's been incredible to see over the last couple of months to see strikeouts going up and hits not going up. That's what's kind of frightening to me, and I think that's frightening to Major League Baseball too, because the ball's not being put in play.
It's sort of comical, though, for officials to greet Jacob DeGrom as he's walking off the mound after his first inning, right? So he faces three hitters, he gets his third out, he's walking off the field, and he's got officials coming up to him asking him to check his, you know, his glove, his hat. He even has to unbuckle his belt to show them there's nothing on his belt buckle. I mean, come on, that's a little bit melodramatic.
It really is, and we had the same situation tonight with the Astros in Baltimore where Jake Odorizzi went out there, struck a couple of the guys out in the first inning, and immediately is greeted by the home plate umpire, Angel Hernandez, and
wow,
the crew chief Ted Barrett. So, you know, there's a unique combination in itself right there. But, you know, Ted Barrett came over, and they check his glove, they check his hat, and they did the same thing. They made him unbuckle his belt and look at it, and Ted Barrett kind of had this sheepish grin on his face like, I got to do this. I know it's awkward, but we got to do this. And they both had a conversation, and they kind of walked away with a smile on their face going, this is where we're at in Major League Baseball, where we're physically getting our hands on guys and basically checking them before they get on a flight to go somewhere.
Wow. When Tyler Glasnow says that him having to adjust his grip is the reason that he got injured, do you think that's a valid point or a possibility?
I think each guy individually, you need to take into account, you know, history and things like that. But, you know, I know that Tyler has had issues with that right elbow and maybe has relied on pitching with, you know, some tackiness or a little extra help with the substance to get a better grip to make his pitches that much better. But I think taking that away and forcing him to grip the ball differently, if there was an issue inside that elbow, is what probably exacerbated it or kind of sped it up a little bit getting to that injury, unfortunately, because if you have a lighter grip with more sticky tackiness on your fingers and you're still able to spin and you take that tackiness away, of course the pitcher's going to have to grip a little bit harder and put a little more pressure on those fingers, which in turn, going down the forearm into the elbow, will put more pressure on that UCL ligament that a lot of these pitchers are having to have be repaired for Tommy John surgery.
Jeff Blum is with us from Houston. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I remember after the report that Major League Baseball issued, which detailed the sign stealing that the Astros had done in 2017 with the trash cans and all that jazz, you came on the show and I asked you about, you know, the cheating factor and asked you about their World Series. And, you know, we had a really honest conversation about it. And the Astros took some major flack for it. Now you've got pitchers who are coming out and talking about how, hey, why are we getting potentially suspended or facing major penalties when the Astros themselves did not for what happened in 2017? I don't know if there's a right answer to this, Jeff, but is baseball going too far when it comes to potentially a 10-game suspension for a guy that might have sticky substance on the baseball?
I think the 10 games is pretty extreme, because normally in the past, even with, whether it be steroids, amphetamines, and the sign stealing going all the way back to 2017 when the Yankees got a slap on the hand and a fine, then the Red Sox used an Apple Watch, they got fined, you know, a slap on the wrist, and then mid-season they said, okay, if anybody else does it, they're going to get reprimanded pretty hard, and it just so happened it was the Houston Astros. But as far as the suspensions are concerned with the Houston Astros, the one thing everybody needs to remember, but I think everybody forgets, is the fact that the union, the players' union, negotiated an opportunity for the Astros to speak to Major League Baseball during the investigation with immunity. And I think that, you know, a lot of people lose sight of that or forget about that and say, well, the Astros did something even worse. Why weren't they suspended? But it was because there was a negotiated immunity clause in that investigation that got the Astros players off the hook, so to speak. It, you know, A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, they got suspended. You know, eventually Carlos Beltran got fired from it, you know, his opportunity with the New York Mets, which I think was improper on their part because he was a player at the time. But I still think that even in this situation with a 10-game suspension, that's a pretty harsh consequence for a mid-season panic type rule change that Major League Baseball has instituted. And when a guy gets suspended too, there's not the opportunity for him on the roster. That's another factor you'd have to take into account.
Is baseball in that bad of shape that officials need to be doing all this, I don't know, all this tweaking with baseballs and all this cracking down on sunscreen or whatever else pitchers are using? I don't know. Maybe it's me, but it doesn't feel like the product is terrible or is beyond repair.
Let me just say thank you for you actually saying that out loud, because that shows it to me. And no, it shows to me that you're really a fan and you are watching the game, because I agree with you. And obviously, I'm going to be biased towards baseball because I played it. It's done wonders for me, is giving me a career both during and after baseball. But I think if you got down to it and started to talk to some of these fan bases and really talk to them, and really talk to a baseball fan, they're going to give us the same answer you just gave us. The game's going to have its ebbs and flows. It's going to have its evolutions. It's going to have its cycles where pitchers are better than hitters. Hitters are better than pitchers. The defense isn't going to be as good. But it always comes back to the fact that people who watch baseball absolutely love baseball. And I think that sometimes Major League Baseball gets into the idea of, how do we get more fans involved? Well, I tell you what, you let the fans who are true fans right now talk to other people and spread the news that baseball is a fun sport to watch and learn how to watch it as a group, instead of saying, oh, I've got a knee-jerk reaction where we've got to change the baseball, we've got to change the pitchers, we've got to change this. And just let some of these guys go out and show their pure athleticism and joy for the game and let them play. And then let those fans decide on whether or not they want to continue to be fans or not be fans of baseball. Because I think baseball has one of those true, pure, loyal fan bases that are starting to get a little bit annoyed by all this.
Right. If you continue to tweak, well, then you alienate the ones who are always going to support you. And how do you know you'll attract new fans by making all of these knee-jerk changes to your game?
No, I think you absolutely nailed it right there, because you are going to start alienating, you know, the true fan, the pure fan that's there for just the purity of the game. And, you know, watching somebody throw it as hard as they can and watch a guy swing as hard as he can and see if somebody can catch it. If you start tweaking the rules, all of a sudden somebody's going to go, oh, what is it today? You know, oh, you know, they're going to be disenchanted with what their image of this game has been for 150 years.
Still think that you look at the number of fans who've been so excited to get back to ballparks, and there's a fan base that just wants to show up and cheer for their favorite players and their favorite teams and don't necessarily need to fix it. I'm not sure baseball's broken, so we'll see. We'll see what happens moving forward. But it's always great to talk to Jeff. We always get honest conversation. Former big lead hitter himself, as well as a World Series champion now with Astros TV. And you can find him on Twitter at Blummer27. Jeff, thank you so much. Great to catch up with you again.
No, that was a great conversation, Amy. I really appreciate it. Have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.